Science reporter Miles O'Brien ending that report by the World's Matthew Bell. Miles is also the guest for our next interview. It's about the disaster that was just starting to unfold exactly 3 years ago today. On March 11th, 2011, a massive tsunami hit the northeast coast of Japan. Nearly 20,000 people were killed. Whole towns were wiped out. And a triple meltdown began at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. The Fukushima story is still very much unfolding, and that's where Miles O'Brien comes in again. He recently traveled to Japan for the PBS NewsHour. So you visited the Fukushima site, Miles, and your report makes it pretty clear that 3 years after the accident, they're still not really even in cleanup mode. So what did you see?
Well, Marco, the issue that really comes to right at the top of the list is the water. Every day, 100,000 gallons of groundwater passes through that plant. Unfortunately, with three exposed nuclear cores, each and every day, 100,000 gallons of water becomes too toxic to allow to get into the sea. So it kind of reminds me of the cartoon Fantasia, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. They're building every other day a 250,000 gallon tank to capture this water. Unfortunately, they're not fully succeeding. And eventually, of course, they're going to run out of space for tanks. And so that raises all kinds of questions about how they're going to clean up this water and make sure it doesn't get dumped into the Pacific.
And that's just the water. What about the core of this plant itself?
Well, reactor number four is where we'll start. That particular facility was under maintenance 3 years ago. So it was not generating electricity, and the process of removing the fuel there is something that TEPCO has managed to figure out an engineering solution. The other three melted reactors are just way too hot to get anywhere near anytime soon by human beings. And so the Japanese are trying to invent robots to go in there and clean that up. But no one has built a robot that can do that kind of work under those kind of circumstances. So we really don't know how they're going to clean it up.
So at the plant itself, not a lot of encouraging news. Now, you also look closely at fish that people eat. First, what's going on locally? Like 3 years later, if you go to Tokyo, will shoppers just avoid buying any fish caught in northeast Japan?
Yeah, there's an area that has just essentially been banned for fishing. There's a whole fleet of fishermen that are out of business. And, you know, for example, we went out on a ship that was gathering flounder, not to sell, but to be tested. Mm. And these fish were actually okay to eat, but the next batch they might catch would be way above the standards. And so really, in essence, for our lifetime and beyond, I suspect there won't be any Fukushima flounder anywhere in Japan or beyond.
Right. And speaking of beyond, let's go farther afield because scientists have found traces of Fukushima radiation in tuna caught off California. Now, we've reported that concerns are actually unfounded because the levels of radiation are so small. What did you find?
Exactly that. I spoke with Nicholas Fisher at Stony Brook University, and he was the one that 4 months after the meltdown got some bluefin tuna in San Diego. These tuna did, in fact, have measurable amounts of Fukushima cesium in them. However, it was, in fact, safe to eat. Now, you might have some concern if you reached huge amounts, but nowhere near what a normal human being would eat.
Miles, finally, our listeners may know at this point about a freak accident you experienced while on assignment. A box of TV gear fell on your arm, and what seemed to be a bruise at first turned out to be something rare and far worse and led to getting your left arm amputated. Briefly, how have you been coping with the pain and with this sudden shock to your life?
You know, it's interesting, Marco. We think about all the risks we take. I thought this trip, the big risk was going inside the Fukushima power plant, and you just never know. It's been a challenge, to say the least. The thing that has gotten me through is I've been working. My biggest fear was that I wouldn't get these stories about Fukushima on the air, and so I just kind of plowed back in to work as quickly as I could, and that probably helped me get through at least the initial shock of the thing. But in the meantime, phantom limb pain is really excruciating at times. But every day it gets a little bit better, and I am learning how to do most everything. And eventually I'll get a prosthetic arm that will help me fly an airplane and ride a bicycle and, for that matter, shoot video. So, you know, life is a series of challenges. Some you seek and some come to you. And this is one that has come to me, and I'm just doing my best to meet it and overcome it.
Well, we are impressed beyond words, Miles. Thank you so much for the interview and for your persistence to follow the Fukushima story despite the incredible hurdles. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Marco.
Miles O'Brien is a science correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. The last part of his Fukushima series airs on Thursday night, and we've got a link to his NewsHour interview about losing his arm at PRI.org.